Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. On Island Radio, KISL Avalon at 88.7 on your FM dial, and at KISLAvalon.com on your internet dial. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more, on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this evening's show, we're going to do some meditating. We'll celebrate the birthdays of Rube Bloom and Wilfred Glenn, do some riffing, and listen to some miscellanea. Last week, April 20th, marked the birth in 1881 in California of basso profundo Wilfred Glenn. You may know him as a member of the male vocal close harmony group The Revelers from the mid-1920s to early 30s, but his musical career began in the early 1900s. In 1917, he founded the Shannon Four, later to also be known as the Shannon Quartet and The Revelers. He led an exciting and unusual life, and his childhood years took him around the American and Mexican West before his arrival in New York as a professional vocalist. And just how do I know this? Well, I spent considerable time researching his life, including interviewing two of his granddaughters, and writing the extensive liner notes for the CD The Shannon Quartet, A Little Bit of Heaven, Early Barbershop Quartet Recordings, 1925 to 1928. It's available from Rivermont Records, and you can see the complete track list, hear audio samples, and order it, along with many other fine Rivermont releases at their website, rivermontrecords.com. As a bass soloist, Glenn had far more opportunities to sing in groups than as a soloist, and the vast majority of his recordings are as a member of vocal groups. But I do have three of his solo recordings to share with you. Here's Wilfred Glenn.
Thank you.
Wilfred Glenn, accompanied by the Victor Orchestra and a fine vehicle for showing off his wide vocal range and enormous talent, Asleep in the Deep. Asleep in the Deep was written by Henry W. Petrie and Arthur J. Lamb in 1897, long before that February 11, 1913 Victor recording. Wilfred Glenn re-recorded Asleep in the Deep electrically in 1926. Asleep in the Deep is referenced in the 1924 Buster Keaton film The Navigator. There's a scene in the movie where that song is played on a phonograph on the ship. Of course, it's a silent film, so there's a shot of the song title on the record label and title cards with some of the lyrics, particularly Beware, Beware. Some of The Navigator was filmed right here off of Catalina Island, with the underwater scenes filmed in Lake Tahoe. Wilfred Glenn loved sailing, and quite a few of his solo recordings have to do with the sea, and include titles such as Anchored, Out in the Deep, When the Bell in the Lighthouse Rings, 100 Fathoms Deep, Rocked in the Cradle of the Deep, The Diver, and Bells of the Sea. Exactly 2 weeks after recording Asleep in the Deep, Glenn was back in the studio with the Victor Orchestra to record the old traditional German drinking song, Down Deep Within the Cellar, another showcase piece for bass singers. We started off our tribute to Wilfred Glenn with an electrical recording made January 7, 1928, with Don Voorhees and his orchestra of Old Man River, written by Oscar Hammerstein and Jerome Kern for Showboat. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, April 24th, marked the birth in 1902 in New York of pianist, composer, arranger, and vocalist Rube Bloom. He began working in vaudeville as an accompanist in 1919, and between 1926 and 28, he was composing novelty ragtime tunes and recorded 23 piano solos. He won a Victor Records Song Contest in 1928 with his composition Song of the Bayou, which received considerable radio airplay over the next couple of years. In the late 20s, he recorded extensively as a piano accompanist for leading singers, and he led a jazz combo known as Rube Bloom and his Bayou Boys, which recorded six sides, including his own composition The Man from the South. In the 30s and 40s, he turned to writing popular songs, including Give Me the Simple Life, Truckin', Fools Rush In, Stay on the Right Side, and Penthouse Serenade. He also wrote several piano method books and the film score for Wake Up and Dream. Rube Bloom died on March 30, 1976. Here are three from Rube Bloom.
Cheer me up when things go wrong. Oh, that sunshine, let it come through, and that lovely melody too. Let me see that sunny sky, happy-go-lucky lullaby. Clouds in the heavens bring gloom and dismay, and the east winds and the west wind and blow them away. Old man, grandpa, sunshine, little boy, baby, bluebird, bring a smile to melancholy.
Thank you.
Sam Lennon and his famous players and Jumping Jack with a piano solo by Rube Bloom. That OK 78 was made on September 26, 1928, and Jumping Jack was composed by Rube Bloom and Benny Seaman. That was preceded by another Rube Bloom composition and piano solo, Spring Fever, an acoustic recording on the Harmony label from March 31, 1926. We began our tribute to Rube Bloom with him accompanying Nita Mitchell on Old Man Sunshine, Little Boy Bluebird, from an OK 78 made on July 9, 1928. Old Man Sunshine was written by Harry Warren and Mort Dixon. In music, a riff is a short, repeated phrase in popular music or jazz, typically used as an introduction or refrain in a song. As a verb, to riff is to play musical riffs, which is exactly what we're going to do in this segment, beginning with The Revelers.
Oh,
Hot stuff. Joe Robichaud and his New Orleans Rhythm Boys and The Riff. That was recorded in New York on August 23, 1933, the first of a five-day marathon recording schedule during which the band recorded 22 issued sides on Vocalion. On June 8, 1937, Fats Waller was lounging at the Waldorf, but there on October 7, 1936, Benny Goodman and his orchestra were riffing at the Ritz. The Ritz-Carlton, Boston, that is. Riffin' at the Ritz was written by Bill Miller and arranged by Jimmy Mundy. That recording is quite unusual because Benny Goodman is not playing clarinet there, but alto sax. You heard him as a soloist in the first segment, and there was Wilfred Glenn once again, this time with The Revelers, and The Riff Song, recorded November 29, 1926. That's from the two-act operetta The Desert Song, which opened at the Casino Theater the very next night after that recording was made. The Riff Song was composed by Sigmund Romberg, with lyrics by Otto Harbach and Oscar Hammerstein II, and you had 471 chances to catch the show. I'm Glenn Robison, and this show is Rapidly Rotating Records. And you have every chance in the world to catch this one. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on Island Radio, FM 88.7, KISL Avalon, and KISLAvalon.com. Available 24/7 on demand anytime at all online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com and on iTunes as a podcast. For no particular reason, for this next segment, we're going to engage in some meditation. Here's Ben Selvin and his orchestra. Thank you.
pass by. What will become of the hobos whenever their time comes to die? Has a master up yonder in heaven got a place that we might call our home? Will we have to wait for a living, or can we continue to roam? Oh-de-dee, 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 be any freight trains in heaven, any boxcars in which we might hide? Will there be any tough cops and brakemen? Will they tell us we cannot ride? Will the hobo chum with the rich man, will he always have money to spare? Hidden up there. Will there be any freight trains in heaven? Any boxcars in which we might hide? Will there be any tough cops and brakemen? Will they tell us that we cannot ride? Will the hobo chum with the rich man, will he always have money to spare? Will they have respect for a hobo in the land that lies hidden up there? Oh-de-dee, oh-de-dee, oh-de-dee.
The Singing Brakeman, Jimmy Rogers and his composition, Hobo's Meditation, recorded in Dallas, Texas on Wednesday, February 3, 1932. That was preceded by Duke Ellington and his orchestra, February 2, 1938, with Lost in Meditation. Before that was what seems like unusual material for the original Memphis Five to be playing, the symphonic intermezzo Meditation from the 1894 opera Thais by Jules Massenet. The other two titles recorded in that February 1925 session were Why Couldn't It Be Poor Little Me and One of These Days. We started off that meditation set with Ben Selvin and his orchestra with Just a Night for Meditation, written by Sam M. Lewis, Joe Young, Lou Pollock, and Arthur Lang. The vocalist on that May 31, 1928 Columbia Vivatonal recording was Roy Rogers. No, not that Roy Rogers, the other one. I learned a new word the other day, courtesy of Walt Whitman's 1885 essay, Slang in America, in which he refers to slang as the wholesome fermentation or erectation of those processes eternally active in language, by which froth and specks are thrown up, mostly to pass away, though occasionally to settle and permanently crystallize. Walt, you silver-tongued devil! Erectation, E-R-U-C-T-A-T-I-O-N, is politely defined as a reflex that expels gas noisily from the stomach through the mouth, and more bluntly defined as a belch or a burp. And yes, I have a rapidly rotating record having to do with erectation. Here's Eddie Stone and his orchestra. Thank you.
Mine, I vow, she chills me.
We started this potpourri segment with Eddie Stone and his orchestra and Burping Bassoon. Despite there being no bassoon listed in the instrumentation of that January 31st, 1938 Vocalion recording. And yes, that's the same Eddie Stone who was vocalist for Isham Jones earlier in the decade. He was born Eddie Marble Stone in Bicknell, Indiana in 1907 and played football for Purdue University before being injured and turning to singing and playing violin. Last week was National Record Store Day, and I'm fortunate to have a Rhino Record Store right around the corner from my office here in the happy little hamlet of Claremont, California. Part of Record Store Day is celebrating records, in this case vinyl LP records, so the last two records in the segment were LP reissues from a Harrison LP titled Dance Bands Play Hot. I tried to find records which have not been reissued on CD, and I don't think either of those tracks has been, but I could certainly be mistaken. Anyway, we heard George Posnack and his orchestra, P-O-S-N-A-K, if George Posnack is even an actual person, that is, with apparently that group's only recording, Black Horse Stomp, from a QRS 78. Yes, QRS, the piano roll people, recorded in New York sometime in 1930, not even narrowed down to a particular month. The New American Dance Bands on record and film shows only Black Horse Stomp under George Posnack, but the online discographical project lists the xylophone novelty Punch and Judy, written by Paul Vincent, as by George Posnack, and issued on a Dominion 78, sometime before Black Horse Stomp. We finished out the show with another Triple R debut. That was Chick Scoggin and his Playmore Orchestra with She Chills Me, recorded in Kansas City by Brunswick around November 10, 1929. Travis Marvin Scoggin, better known as Chick, C-H-I-C, was born April 21, 1905, in Jackson, Missouri. In October of 1924, Chick Scoggin's Winter Garden Syncopators were playing at Cloyd's Hall in Macon, Missouri, and in 1925, the Chick Scoggin Orchestra was playing for Elks Club dances around Macon. In 1926, he and Jimmy Gettinger were managing the 10-piece College Inn Quadrangle Orchestra from the University of Missouri. Following his engagement at the Playmore in 1931, Chick Scoggin and his 14-piece Kansas City Nighthawks played at Cliffside Park in Indiana, Pennsylvania. That's the city of Indiana in the state of Pennsylvania. Starting in the early 30s, the band could be heard on network radio, including WHK, Cleveland, Ohio's first radio station, and they were on the air into 1940. Sadly, Chick Scoggin committed suicide by gunshot on June 26, 1956, at the Carlisle Hotel in Dallas, Texas. His occupation was listed as theatrical booking agent. The Playmore Ballroom in Kansas City, Missouri, opened on Thanksgiving Day of 1927 to Gene Goldkett's orchestra and featured a 14,000-square-foot spring-loaded dance floor which could accommodate 3,000 dancers. It was part of a huge entertainment complex which included a hockey arena, swimming pool, bowling alleys, roller rinks, and a baseball diamond, and was known as the Million Dollar Ballroom. The Playmore closed on June 14, 1957, and was demolished on March 31, 1972. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.